Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
God is doing some pretty awesome things in our midst, just in your personal heart, my personal heart. God is a faithful God, and I tell you, he's proven himself so many times that I could spend probably, and you could spend eternity thanking God and acknowledging all the great things that he has done, and he's not through yet. God has some great things in store for us, and for you personally, I know you think you've already arrived. You're where you're at because you've arrived with God. And you know all you need to know. And yet you really don't know what you need to know. Amen. And so God, on a daily basis, ministers to us his blessing and his will and his guidance and his direction and all the things that God is famous for doing. He literally and actually does do these things in our lives. And I'm telling you, let me just give you a practical example of what I'm talking about. How many of you, have ever worked any kind of construction, and you all had those big 100-foot extension cords you plug your saws into and all that kind of stuff? They're laying everywhere. And have you ever been doing something and you got your handful of this and your handful of that and you're walking along and somehow whatever you were carrying gets hung up on those cords? Has anybody ever done that? Or if you're moving the cord, you're trying to move it along, especially if you, I'll give an example. When I'm required to vacuum the house, you got that, didn't you? Yeah. Some of you are really sharp people. I like that. And so I'm vacuuming along. That cord, it catches on anything and everything. Is anybody identify with that? Well, you know what I'm talking about. That's the kind. So I'm working along the other day, and I'm dragging the hose to texture these walls, and I'm texturing these walls. And there's always something in the way. I don't know how many of you remember Guy Brownlee, but Guy Brownlee was in construction his whole life, and he said, you know, if you jump from an airplane, you don't need a parachute. Just jump with an extension cord. It'll hang up on something. And you probably know that to be true. So I'm working along like this, and I'm getting frustrated. Has anybody ever been frustrated? Okay, good, because I don't want to be like the only guy here who's ever been frustrated. And so I'm getting frustrated. I'm dragging the hose, and it's hanging up on everything like this. And so I'm trying to move this ladder so I can, and I'm still holding onto the hose and all this, and my own hose is getting hung on my own ladder. And I'm by myself in there, and got the other guys are on other jobs, and I'm there by myself, and I'm moving this ladder, and I move the ladder like this to kind of throw the hose, and then I pull it back so that it doesn't get hung up. And as sure as I sling it out, it followed me right back to the ladder. And I'm just to myself, I'm thinking, dear Lord, can I have a little help here? Now I want to know, has anybody else been there? You know the frustrations then that could come in all kinds of forms and all kinds of manners. Frustrations come and irritations and anxiety and challenges and pressure and all kinds of things that are part of life and our living. And it's not that we couldn't be smart enough to stop for a moment, move the hose, move the ladder. You know, one of the things I've tried to teach guys that I've taught the trade to is, listen, don't try to hold your pan and your knife or tools in your hands and try to move something with one hand. Put it down, move whatever you have to move. Oh, no. We'll still try to hold on to this, and I break my own rule. And then I needed Jesus to help me, you know. So anyway, the issue that I want to share with you this morning, the idea of kind of building faith, I want to show you, I think, a practice or a, I would like it to be, and it is a part of my life, and it is something that I do, but there are moments when my hose gets hung up, and I forget the procedure, the proper procedure that will save you time, aggravation, and frustration. Amen? And so I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be reading out of the 5th chapter. Good book. Good one for encouraging you. Remember in the 6th chapter, it talks about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God so that you're fully capable of defending yourself against the enemy. and against anything that would try to detract your faith from where it needs to be and even keep and prevent your faith from growing. We all want our faith to be on a positive upward slant, all right? We want our faith to be growing. We want to be able to trust God, believe God, see God move, and all of these things. And I'm a contender, if you've been listening to any of these messages over the past few months, I'm a contender that many things are determined by your attitude, by how you think about things and how you react to things and what you recognize. If you're able to be sensitive enough to recognize the hand of God when he's moving and not write it off to coincidence, but realize that as a Christian, there's very little coincidence that happens in your life. There are some things. Life throws things at you just because life is what it is. But as a Christian, many of the things, or most of the things that happen to us, are God allowed and God designed. Either God allowed or God designed. And if either way, God uses both of those in an effort to increase us and invest in us. Did you know God is continually investing in you, continually ministering in your life? And the more you allow your faith to grow, the more capacity you have to let God use you and do greater things for God. Amen? And so I want to emphasize that. And I want to emphasize it in an area or with the context of being frustrated, anxious, facing challenges, adversities, whatever. And I want you to keep that in this, what I'm about to share with you in that context, because I think this is the way to victory over adversity and problems and issues. And I wish I were an expert at it, but I think it's a lifelong learning process. I believe the Christian life has much to do with a learned process. You learn how to live for the Lord. We are not instantly born again and instantly know how to live perfectly as a Christian. Otherwise, 1 and 2 Corinthians would not have been written and put in the Bible. Amen? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about it was the most dysfunctional church in the early churches. It was trying to do everything and experience everything from God, but was still wanted to live like the world was living. And so those books that are written to us to instruct us are the very thing that I'm talking about, and Ephesians is going to do that for us this morning. So I want you to turn to the 5th chapter. I want to begin reading in the 18th verse. And what I am basically doing is taking a single sentence out of this chapter, although it entails every one of those verses. And I want to read them first, and then I want to kind of drop back for a second, but I want to read this for you so you get the full context of what I'm talking about. And be not drunk with wine. Where'd that come from? Be not drunk with wine. And don't give me the technicality crud, okay? Now, I can drink 5 and not be drunk. Oh, well, you might. Fine. That's great, but I don't think that's what it's saying. And I'm not getting off on wine again, but anyway, you know me. I'll take any rabbit trail I can. Be not drunk with wine, wherein, and here's the reason, wherein is there's excess. And we don't want to be in excess, and that has the negative connotation is what that is about. But here's the positive side of that portion of the verse. But be filled with the Spirit. So instead of these other things, be filled with the Spirit. And there's a reason why he's saying this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, don't be in excess with all these other sideline things, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and such, and make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, the last part of that verse, or that sentence actually, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That covers a lot of territory there, doesn't it? A lot of territory that some of us would like to talk about and some of us would not. But there's a principle I want to draw your attention to, because I think your victory and your confidence and your lifestyle. I'm a lifestyle preacher. I preach about living Christ-like. I think that is a lifestyle. I don't have a lifestyle that includes Christ. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord, and for me to live is Christ. I don't just believe in a God somewhere, and I'm religious toward that God, and I do these observances like communion and so forth, and therefore it is a part of my life. No, I am a Christian. This is my life. This is my lifestyle. Whatever I do it as a Christian. And I do my best to be honoring to Christ. Is that making any sense to you? And so there's a big difference in being religious and living a lifestyle for Christ, which includes every aspect of my life, every aspect of my life. And by the way, if I'm walking as Christ would have me walk, every aspect of my life will be to the fullest. It will be the fullest. If I'm talking about freedom in the Spirit, it'll be full. I can worship the Lord all I want to, and with as much exaggeration and as much pomp and circumstance, any way I want to, as long as I am worshiping God. If I'm out on a job, I'm out there working, I try to conduct myself as a Christian. When I give the guy the bill, I try to keep it right on what we bid the job for. I don't try to gouge anybody or anything like that. I try to give him a fair price for a fair job, and so forth. And so my lifestyle is Christian. And part of that lifestyle needs to be focused right there in these verses that I read for you in Ephesians, because there's a secret that is entailed here that would help us in many times when we find ourselves hung up and our rope hung up and we're asking for just a little help here. There's help here. There's help for you to untangle your cord. There's help for you to get free from what's bogging you down, free from what's entangling you with the things of the world. And that's what he's talking about. Don't get drunk on wine means don't get entangled with the things of this world, but get entangled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, because your lifestyle will be one of as a Christian. And therefore, great, good, awesome, glorious things happen to Christians. It's the Christians that are the main focus of God's power and blessing and Spirit. Oh, yes, he wants us to win the world, but how are you going to win the world unless you have a Christ-like lifestyle? People are not impressed because you go to church. People are not impressed because you talk about God. They want to see you live out what you are talking about. And so what they really pay particular attention to is when you face adversity, because the rest of the world that does not know Christ is living in an adverse world, a world that's working against them and not necessarily for them. And so what is important for us is to recognize that our lifestyle is through which God pours his blessing. And what is going to impress people is when you go through adversity like they go through adversity, and yet you come out with a good attitude. You come out with victory. You come out with confidence. You're not destroyed by your adversity. You're not strewn asunder by what happens to you. Yes, it hurts. Yes, some of the things that we go through are painful, and we've gone through rejection and betrayal and all kinds of things we've experienced, which is like unto all men. And yet people that are watching us or want to see how you get through it, and when you get through it successfully and you come out on the other side smiling and confident, I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't still have the pain, or you're not working through the mourning process or the hurting process. Yeah, you're working through that, but you have the power. You're filled with the Spirit, and therefore you have the power of God helping you. The Holy Spirit, one of the greatest jobs the Holy Spirit does, works that he does in us, is comforting us. Oh, I like to see you dance in the Spirit and speak in tongues and give me a prophecy. I like that. It ministers to me, encourages me. But oh, how I like to see you come out on the other side of adversity with victory and power and not beaten down and not lost your faith in Christ. Amen? And so Paul is talking about this in Ephesians as he writes, a very spiritual church, by the way, one that searched scriptures, one that tried to confirm things in the Word, as well as under the direct ministry of the Apostle Paul at one time. So it's very important that through your Christian life, you learn the principle of recognizing an act of God. Is God in this, or is God not in this? Is this just something being thrown at me, maybe perhaps instigated by the enemy in my soul? Or is this God allowing something for me to learn a lesson there? Either way, I've got to recognize whether it's positive or whether it's negative, God's hand is in this for Christians. Everything, God's hand is in it, either to rescue, deliver, or help, or to encourage, build up, and bless. Either way, we need to recognize the hand of God and try to discern, through the Spirit preferably, how God is now working in my personal life. What is he doing? Now, there are going to be times when you're never going to know what he's doing. Have you ever been through times like that when God has spoken to you and you've gone through something and you wonder where in the world that came from? You don't know what the purpose of it is, and it's gone, it's over with, and you still don't know why it happened. Hello? You're going to say that happens all the time, right? Yeah, that's pretty much it. But that does not mean you don't know the will of God. It merely means God did something that is going to do a couple of things. One, it's going to be an investment of God in you somewhere. God is going to invest in you somewhere. And the second thing is he's going to use that investment to touch his kingdom, his people, and he's also going to use that to touch people who don't know him. Amen? And so we need to recognize the hand of God. And these verses that we just read for you talks about several things. One, let me drop back a couple verses because I want you to see what he's talking about. Let me drop back to a quote that's in the 14th verse. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now what does that mean? See that you walk with caution, that you're aware of your surroundings, that you're aware of things that could beset you. There are things that could cause you to damage your faith if you get involved in it. Now you know why I said the first verse that I read for the first part of the verse I read for you, what he's talking about. See that you walk with caution and readiness. Don't be like a fool and just foolheartedly go plundering out of there and then hope God will come along and help you and rescue you. But be wise. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Let me ask you something. Do you consider our days evil? I think we're living in an extremely evil time when that which is good is evil spoken of and that which is evil is spoken well of. And I think it's just upside down. But that's beside the point. Listen to what he says in verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do I know what the will of the Lord is in this situation? Well, if you start looking for God and recognizing some things, if you know the nature of God, you know the nature of his work and ministry in your life. If you know God is good, then even if it's a negative thing that happens, you know, God will make something good out of it. You may not know it at the time. You may not like it at the time. You may reject it at the time. You may refuse it at the time, and you might shake your fist at God at the time. But if you'll butch up and hang in there and hold on to the Lord, even though you're mad at him, you'll soon discover that he will turn that bad, negative thing in your life into something positive. Am I making sense? So God has an ability to somehow take that which is so far from what we think is good and turn it into substantively something positive. Amen? And I'm thinking that one of the things that he's getting us to understand is that giving thanks, that's the main verse I want you to focus on, giving thanks to God in all things. I heard a preacher talking about this one time, and he's talking about he's a carpenter as a side to support himself in the ministry. But he was, and he slammed his thumb with a hammer, and he said he really had a hard time thanking the Lord at that moment. Has any of you ever been there? I don't know if you've ever smashed your thumb with a hammer or whatever, but it's kind of in the middle of a negative thing. It's kind of hard to be thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Your thumb's throbbing like this, and it's about three times bigger than it should be. But the concept here is going to be a rich one. It's a rich one because if you learn a lifestyle of giving thanks in all things that happen to you, that is an indicator that you're beginning to recognize, as a lifestyle, I recognize, I look for, and I see the hand of God or the potential of what God can do in this situation. Now, I'm sorry, but we are subjects like a letter. We are God's subjects, and we are an open letter to everybody around us. People watch us, they look at us, they try to refer to us. When they think, it's like as at the golf course with Dave Dalton and the guy there that was letting us go through and setting the time for us to go, he gave me a free round. He let me go with Dave. Dave, he's a bum anyway. He gets free golf all the time. But he allowed me to have a free round with Dave. And I said, well, man, I got money. Thanks. I appreciate it. And believe me, I'll take anything free. That's how cheap I am. But he said, that's okay. I need somebody to pray for my sorry behind at some point in my life. And so I appreciated it, although what I wanted to say to him was, well, you can take care of that whole thing right now by asking Jesus Christ into your heart. But I was too enamored with the golf. But anyway, the whole point being, people are watching you. They're look. You're a letter. You're an open, living letter, and God is making himself known through your life. You think not? You go through some adversity sometime, and then see if people don't gravitate to you after that, when they see that you've got the victory over that and recognize that God's hand has been involved, and they want to know, what's this all about? How are you able to do it? I went through this, and I'm still devastated. Have you ever met people who've lost a loved one, or some tragedy or adversity has happened in their life? Folks, I'm telling you things that you're going to experience. This is life's talk right now. And people will come up to you and say, I've been through that. And I don't know how you're making it, how you're doing so well. I don't know how you're smiling. I don't know how your heart is lifted up. I don't know how you can thank God in the midst of this adverse situation. Well, they don't know God, but you do. And because you do, your situation will be buffered and tempered by God himself. And he'll make his will known unto you in the midst of that. Are you still with me? Let me move on. I'm not even through the second point of the introduction. Aren't you happy? So, we recognize the act of God. Our response is what determines the outcome. If we respond with gratitude and thanksgiving, the outcome is going to be very positive for us. If we don't respond with gratitude and thanksgiving, it's going to be a longer process. It's going to be a longer process for God to turn your heart into a thankful heart for what you've gone through, even though it's been negative. Are you still with me now? And so that's an important part. Your response has to be from a heart of gratitude. And so then we begin to realize, once we come to God with that in the midst of adversity, then we begin to realize, recognize, response, and we realize God's blessing as God begins to turn the negative into something positive. God wants his people to be a positive people. Let me ask you just something on a human level here. Have you ever gossiped before? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you if you have. Did you notice that gossip breeds gossip? Had you noticed that most gossip is negative? Most gossip is finding the black dot on the white sheet. You follow me? Correct? And as you gossip or point out or become have a lifestyle of negativity, that's all you're going to see is that black dot. You're never going to see the white sheet. You're never going to see that 99.9% of that person's life is just like yours. Struggling, trying to make it, trying to get by, trying to be a faithful Christian, whatever, if they are Christians. But if you get into that trap of being negative, which I think gossip is negative, I've never heard of any positive gossip. I may be wrong, but my point is this. When you start looking at the black dot and you encourage others to look at the black dot, it's not long until you've created a group of black daughters. You know what I'm saying? And the only conversation they have is when they get together and talk about someone else in a negative way. Hello? And so it breeds more and more and more. And it's not hard to get a convert to black dottedness, because we by nature are negative. By nature, we tend toward negativity. How can I prove that? Well, children of Israel, one of the best examples, since we're talking out of the Bible, we ought to talk about that one. God would do a wonderful blessing for them. It wasn't 2 weeks, and they were griping and complaining and murmuring. What were they doing? They were talking to one another about how Moses wasn't a good leader and how God hadn't provided for them. And it wasn't long, God would provide for them, give them something other than garlics and leeks, and they had a quail and some bread and all these things that God provided. Water, when they didn't have water, he provided for them, did all that. But there was still that element of people that began to continue to be black daughters. And so it got to the point where God had to swallow them by the earth. And I don't know how you do that selectively, but it seems that when he opened up the earth, he only swallowed the black daughters. How do you do that? I don't know. But he did. And he needed to get rid of that because it was poisoning everyone else. It was turning everyone else's attitude negative. Follow me? And that's what I think is important, that we think positively. Now, I'm not a power of positive thinking kind of guy, but I am kind of. I'm kind of leaning that way, because I believe when you speak positively, you are praising God and you're speaking as God would speak. When God has to speak negatively, it's still in a positive way. He may warn you, he may send the Spirit to convict you, but either way, it's for a positive reason, not just to be negative. not just to point out your faults, not just to condemn you, not just to make sure you know you're a sinner. That's not God's effort. He's positive. He says, yeah, you're a sinner. However, my son has made a way for you to get your sins washed away. You see what I'm saying? And so, yeah, give God a hand for that. And so I think what he's teaching us, and I think it has to very much to do with increasing our faith. I think every time we have a victory, our faith is increased. And I think as we even prayed for John Everett this morning, that when he gets you to that point, he anchors you at that level of your faith. So that anything below that or anything less than that is not going to be that big of a deal to you. But anything, of course, further in the future would be different. But I think that adversity erodes our faith. When we have difficulty, whether it's black dotting or whether it's an actual issue in our life where we're experiencing the loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of whatever, when we're suffering loss and anxiety, I believe it erodes our faith. I believe it wants to diminish our faith or diminish the foundation of our faith. The devil would love nothing else, and life would love nothing else, than to cause you to let your foundation be questioned. Now, let me give you another honest side of that. It's not wrong to question God. Are you still with me? It's not wrong to ask him questions. It's not wrong to say, what's this all about? Why is this happening? It's not wrong. That's not a sin. It becomes a sin when you start disbelieving that God is capable. When God is infinite, God is omniscient, and he's all-powerful. And that's the truth. That's his nature. That's his character. That's who he is. He is God. He is good. He is loving. And whatever you think about good and loving, it's infinite. That's how big God is. And so he never chooses the negative. He always tries to do the positive in our lives. And so we need to gain a better understanding of how and what God is doing as he does these things in our lives. But one of the things he wants us to be able to do is to stay strong in our faith and stay anchored where he puts us in our faith. Victory is the means whereby God helps us not only learn lessons about life, but he also helps us to increase our faith and our trust and confidence in him. We don't want to side with things. That's what he said in the first part of this verse. We don't want to get involved in things that are going to erode our faith or diminish our confidence in God. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I just be honest? Since it's talked about wine, can I be honest with you? When I was drunk, God was never on my mind. And by the way, all things were possible when you're drunk. And most of it was negative. Hello? Still with me? Okay, so what I'm telling you, just because he used that example, it could be drugs, it could be anything. It could be anything that's addictive to your life. And so anything that is going to diminish my confidence and my trust in God, that's why I don't recommend that you do that. I don't recommend drugs. I don't recommend even getting hypnotized. What? I don't recommend that even if you're a smoker and you need to get hypnotized to quit smoking. Have you heard that advertised? Don't surrender your mind to anyone, especially the devil. Hello? Because if you're not thinking clear, your faith is not going to be optimum. And so a positive response is the answer, the solution to a negative situation. A positive response is the solution to a negative situation. So if I'm going through some tough anxiety, I'm going through some adversity, I can conquer the adversity by having a positive attitude. And I think that includes speech. Not only thinking, not only what you harbor in your heart, but what you say. So if you're always talking to your kids negatively, well, is it any wonder that they rob the bank when they're 25? Doesn't everybody blame the parents? Am I right? They forget that people make their own choices once they get past 5 or whatever. And so it's very important that we understand, how do we conquer the adversities that come to us in life? We get the victory and we conquer them by approaching them with a positive attitude. And if you have a positive lifestyle, that will be automatic. You'll begin to approach it. Where's God in this? How's God using this? What's God going to bring about in the midst of this adverse time? And the adversary, for that matter. But my point is, what is he doing? Look for what it is. Be positive. Look for the positive thing God is going to do. And if you can't see it, envision a positive conclusion. Are you with me? By faith, I see this happening. Now, I don't know, I've done that a lot of times, and it never concluded the way I wanted it to or I envisioned it, but it was generally better. Hello? Generally better. You want to conquer something in your life? You want to conquer a situation in your life? Why do you think the Lord says when somebody smacks you on one cheek, that's an adverse situation, isn't it? It's like, turn the other one to offer him the other one. So, well, you're not through. Here, hit this one too, so I'm evened out here. I'm not quite like the preacher that says, well, after the second hit, God never said anything, so you can do what you want. I don't recommend that one either, but my whole point is that, hey, I'm approaching this positively. I'm looking at this in a way that God can use this for me to be a testimony, a witness to this person. And it doesn't have to be a literal smack. It can be all kinds of things. I have won the victory, not always the situation, but I've won the victory in the situation by having a positive attitude. I want to be Christ-like. I want my lifestyle to be a part of this. Oh, I have the same anxieties. I go through the same frustrations. Would somebody just help me? I go through them, but I have to stop. And in fact, I'll tell you exactly what I did after that happened to me. I stopped, and he said, this is what I did. I said, Father, I want to dedicate this job to you. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I got so much pressure on me. I got 6 other jobs going. I can't get to them. They're all calling. They're all bugging me. They all think they're the only job on the planet and that I should be at their job every moment of the day. I just need a little help here, but I want to dedicate this job to you. And I want you to move on my attitude. The rest of the day went fine. In fact, it not only went fine, the next job I went to went fine. Are you still with me? And so what am I learning out of this whole being thankful about and having a positive attitude about? I'm learning that I can determine the outcome of much of my adversity by how I approach it, how I respond to it. And if I respond Christ-like, which I think is positive, I'm going to take charge of the situation. How do you heap coals of fire on your enemy? Be nice to him. Be positive toward him. Be good toward him. Do good deeds to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. You don't think that's a part of what he's talking about? How you respond is as much as a part of thanksgiving as anything you do. How I respond. If I don't smack them in the face and I pray for them and tell them God loves them, that's a pretty good response. Keep you out of jail, keep you out of a lot of frustration and problems, and you'll discover that you diffuse the whole situation. You begin to diffuse because you're part of the solution now and not part of the problem. I can get in an argument with anybody because I'm such an opinionated old goat. I can argue, I'll even throw the hat down to get the argument going. But that solves nothing. And you can agree to disagree, that's an effort toward positive action. But I'm considering the fact that if we be more Christ-like in my character, in my actions, and the things I say and the things I think, I soon begin to discover that I'm in charge of this now. This has an effect or it does not have an effect on me. It is now not the outcome. The outcome is the fruit that comes from my good attitude, my positive attitude. So whatever thing looks like it's all over and it all looks like the world's caved in on you, your attitude will change the end into something positive. Because God, the minute you begin to start acting Christ-like and talking positively and talking by faith, God gets involved in the situation. And then begins to change the circumstances until you now have the victory. I think that's pretty positive. So I think you conquer your adversity, all adversity, by having faith established and strong, not allowing anything to erode it by the decisions I make that make the stupid things that I decide to do. But my positive response will be the solution to the whole problem. And yielding, there's a surrender word there in those scriptures I read for that, yielding to God's will. And he warns us to be cautious and yielding to a better way and a better guidance of the Holy Spirit by being wise and being smart and being cautious. And then when you gain the victory, what's the second thing you'll discover? The second thing you'll discover is that you no longer fear challenges. Some of the most admirable people that I know, and I don't know them real well, but I worked on, and I don't know what your opinion of them is, so keep your negative opinions to yourself if you have any of them, because I'm going to mention a name here, and I didn't ask his permission, but I'm going to share it because of an experience I had with him. But you remember Bob Hall Chevrolet? I think he sold it to his daughter now. When they first built Bob Hall Chevrolet, I worked on that job. And I'm going to tell you something. I never saw a more positive, upbeat, driven man than Bob Hall. I don't know much more about him than my personal experience. I don't take my car there because Chevys and I don't get along. But at any rate, that's not the point. I'm on the job. I was doing a special thing during the summer. I would go in early, so I'd get there at 6, and I'd work straight 8 hours, no breaks, no lunch, no nothing, because I wanted to get off early enough to go fishing or whatever I wanted to do. And so I'm there. That guy was there before me, checking the job out, situating, seeing things, overseeing stuff, and he was driven. That guy's the most high-energy guy I had ever met. And I don't know anything about his politics, his religion, or any of that stuff. I don't know anything about it. But I admired him because he was always upbeat. He didn't know me from Adam, but every time he would talk to me, he talked to me like I was the only person on the planet. I don't know if that impresses you or not, but it impressed me. Here's the business. Here's the owner of the job I'm working on, and he takes the time to talk to me like I mean something to him. Do you think he really cared how much mud I put on the wall? Do you think he really cared about the sheetrock going up and all that? No. But he looked at me and he made me feel like, hey, I was important. You were doing something that was accomplishing something for him, so you were helping him. And he appreciated that and he conveyed that. He spoke that. He was positive when he talked to me. Even when the schedule got behind a little bit, not of course not my fault, but the schedule got behind a bit, he is still very positive. I know you can do this. I know that you're capable of doing this. Let's see if we can't get it done. That's the kind of talk he was talking. A man that was highly successful, and I think he's got a couple bucks in the bank now. But my whole point is, do you not realize who else talks to you like that? Do you not realize who else has that same positive, you can do attitude? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. If you can't do it yourself, I can help you do it. But I know you can do it. I've got confidence in you. I by faith, I see you doing this, is the way we would say it in Christian terms. Somebody else, secular guy, would do say something different like Bob Hall did. But the point is, when he talks to you, you are the most important, significant person he's talking to. So the way to overcome anxiety is to learn how to not fear your challenges. There's going to be things thrown at you in life. Are you still with me out there? I can't see. The lights are too bright. I can't see. You will have the most positive lifestyle when you arrive at the place where challenges no longer really are something to fear. But when challenges are viewed from a positive perspective, they become opportunities, not negative situations. They became a challenge for you, yes, but it's an opportunity for God to prove his power and his blessing in your life. You've experienced this. I'm going to tell you, every one of you have experienced what I'm talking about. If you've served Christ a year, 6 months, you've already experienced part of what I'm talking about. But how did you respond to the trials you began to face? How did you respond when you had to act Christ-like in the midst of a situation where before you would have just smacked somebody? How is it now you're not punching somebody out when they aggravate you and you're talking to them about Jesus Christ? What's happened to you? What's the matter with you? Why aren't you responding the way you would normally respond? Because I've got something pretty positive and powerful in my heart. And from the abundance of this heart, I'm going to speak, I'm going to think, I'm going to act. I'm going to have a lifestyle. I live this way. It's the way I live. I live as close to Christ as I possibly know how to do it. And I believe that creates a positive atmosphere and an attitude, and I think it creates positive faith. Positive faith. And I think that that's part of how you get the victory, and I think that's part of how you grow your faith. Look at every challenge as an opportunity for God to develop a positive thing in your lifestyle. I think it's a learned thing. I mentioned a minute ago, it's a learned skill. I believe that you learn how to have this attitude. I choose to do this. I choose to be positive. I don't think that this happens to you automatically. I don't think you were born with a bad attitude. I think you developed it. I think you learned how to have a bad attitude. And just as well, I think you learned how to have a good attitude. But I think you are blessed if you have a good attitude in the midst of a bad situation or a challenge to your faith or life. Am I taking you on too long here? I just want to finish about six more points. And so, what a way. Now, let me ask you this. Cassie, Barb, anybody that's Carolyn, others that have been a part of our worship team and leading it or whatever. Yeah, answer if this is not true. That when you begin to sing songs of worship, I know you're leading us, but I'm pretty confident you kind of hum it at home. Am I right? And when things are going bad or good or whatever, you begin to sing songs that are relative to that situation. If I need victory, I'm thinking there's victory in Jesus. You know, if I need peace, I sing about the peace of the Lord. If I need whatever, I sing about it. And I'm not even a song leader, but believe it or not, I know you don't want to ride with me when I'm doing it, but I sing. I turn to the oldies channel and I sing those oldies. And when I'm going through trouble, I turn to the Christian channel and I sing the Christian music. But music and worship, and which is part of worshiping and relating to God. God relates to us through our praise and our worship and our exalting Him and all of that. And talking to Him and sharing your problems and telling Him how you're aggravated, that He's not on the spot taking care of this right now. And He's not afraid of you. And so I think our challenges are overcome when we use a positive response. I start singing about it. My heart, my spirit starts soaring. And my attitude starts rising and becomes more positive. You with me? I'm not Norman Vincent Peale, but I am telling you that your positive attitude will do a lot more for you than looking at black dots. And so giving thanks in all things and for all things. It turns negative into positive. It brings power over you and convinces you that God's power is the solution and the answer. God then begins to reinforce that with wisdom and fulfillment of your prayers. You know, God doesn't like to answer your prayers when you're negative. Oh God, I pray that you would just touch Nick. He has such a bad attitude. I wish that you would just sweep over his heart. I heard him talking about me the other day. And Lord, if you would just minister to him. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about positive stuff. God, I want you to just anoint Nick. I know we may have a little something off here, but God, just pour it upon him and help us to reconcile any kind of issue we might have. That's positive. Hello? If God's people could get unified in being positive and giving thanks in everything, there would be a dynamo of power happening right here, right now, and in every church, every Christian church. We no longer say, he's a Baptist. He believes in eternal security. There would be none of that. That would be, that's my brother, man. He's born again. That's all I need. He's born again. He knows Jesus. He's my brother. That was Jesus' intention. He didn't want to put labels on us. He just wanted us to receive salvation by faith through him. Amen? And so, fear our challenges. Why? All I got to do is sing. Throw me in jail. Me and my partner, we'll just sing. And the doors will open up. And we'll win the jailer and his whole house to Christ. Hello? That's what we need to be doing. Amen. It will not only do something for people out around us, but it'll do something right here in us. Strengthen our faith, not allow anything to erode it. God then reinforces our with wisdom and more of the positive action in our lives. And I really believe that that's what builds our faith. When we see God operate, it builds our faith. When I see God do a miracle, when I see God change a person's life, when I see people begin to speak positive, powerful things because God showed them something through a lesson they learned. And I do believe it's learned, and I do believe it's an act of the will. You choose to do this. And so the power that flows because of that is unhindered. It flows with force and with purpose and a desire to complete you as a person. We're not a good witness if all we do is talk about what's wrong. We're a witness when we give them the solution. So as we speak positive faith into people's lives, I think it's a good thing. I think it's a way to build your faith. I think it's a way for you to get the victory. I think it's a way for you to defeat fear in your life and fear of circumstances. I think it's a way to overcome all things if you have a lifestyle of thanksgiving and a positive attitude. Amen? I think, give God a hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. One, I want to encourage you to speak positive to any negative situation you encounter. That can take some creativity, can't it? Because some of the things that come against us are well designed to attack us where our faith might be the weakest. And so as we practice being positive and fill our heart with thanksgiving, we begin to unleash the solution for whatever we're experiencing. So here's what I want you to do. If you can't figure out what God's doing, although you need to have an attitude of, well, he's going to show me soon, but it's going to God's hands here somewhere. So I'm going to give thanks in this. So that's a positive thing. I want to give thanks in all things. Whether it makes sense or not, God, I determined by my will, I choose to give thanks to you for this. I don't like it. It's ugly. It's painful. It's hurtful. I don't see a good thing going to happen here, but I'm going to thank you for this. Because what I'm going to learn out of this is going to be invaluable to me. It's going to help me. It's going to increase me. It's going to be your investment in me. And so I want you to think about that. Be thankful when the bad things come, as well as the good things. You need to be thankful for the good things too. But then the next thing I think you should do, if you can't figure the solution and you're at that point where all you've got is Thanksgiving, try this. Start envisioning, by faith, what the outcome could be. God, you could use this in my life to touch someone else's life. God, you could use this to make me better. God, you could use this to show me some really cool things in the Spirit. And by faith, I see this helping me and not hurting me. Are you getting the gist, the idea? And so not only are you thankful, but you begin to speak positively toward your situation. No, by the way, if you've got a young person that's wild and crazy and needs a little attention by God, start envisioning them as a godly person. By faith, I see my son. By faith, I see my daughter. By faith, I see my grandson. By faith, I see my fellow worker. By faith, whatever, I see them as a godly person. That'll change your attitude. That'll change how you speak to that person. That'll change from negative to positive. I know I don't want you to think I'm a motivational speaker. I don't have a van anymore, and I don't live down by the river. So I want you to pay particular attention to what I'm saying. I think these are faith things. These are biblical things. And these are the kinds of things that if you put them in practice, you'll soon discover that you do have a lifestyle. You're living a lifestyle, positive, thankful, grateful, and open to the power of God flowing through you. Hello? See if it doesn't change your family. It will, because it'll change you. Amen? So God is good. God has given us, I think, a good, positive, powerful word this morning to act upon and some practical ways to do it. So you apply it to your situation this morning. So I'd like you to stand with me, and I'm going to pray for everybody today, because I know everybody's going through something. Amen? And if you're not at this time, that's God giving you a rest for the next time. Amen? And so I think what God is building in us as a church, as a body of believers, is if we built a lifestyle, this whole church was just focused on being positive. Oh, I know there's going to be a negative thing. Oh, you got to describe it, but then begin to speak positive to it. This church, we could not contain the blessings God is going to pour into this church. So the next time you get mad at the pastor, just start saying, God, I see him by faith, anointed. God, I see him as a godly pastor. You just pray any way you want to, but pray. But in your own personal life, How are you going to face these issues in your life? How are you going to overcome loss of a loved one, loss of your job, loss in general? Anything you're losing is going to be painful. So what I want God to do is give us a thankful attitude, a positive outlook, positive attitude, faithing kind of talk. We want to talk faith things. No more black dots. Nothing but looking at the white instead of the black dot. Amen? I want to pray for you this morning. Father, this is one of the greatest congregations in the world. I really believe that. Wherever your presence is the greatest place to be. And your presence came this morning, still here this morning, ministering to us. And I pray that you take these words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus and burn them into our hearts. And when I start to speak negatively, Lord, check me so that I can learn to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and positive attitude. And Father, we will be obviously overcomers of the negative things that happen. But Father, I'm praying for you to give us the anointing to do that. Because with your help, with your anointing, your help, we're able to learn that more quickly, more rapidly. Therefore, being more effective, quicker, and more long-lasting. And so, Father, I just bless your people this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak blessings into their heart. Attitude, positive. Heart filled with thanksgiving. Filled in their spirit with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I bless your people this morning in your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, right on time, late as usual. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.